In the interest of time and because you are standing, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit." And by the way, the Bible does not say that it was an apple. "But she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they said, Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, so it doesn't matter what we have on." Oh, I'm sorry, that's not what they said. "They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." And by the way, if you were to read down to verse 21, it says that God was not satisfied with their aprons. God's standard was, you need to put on some more clothes. So verse 21 of that same chapter says, God made them coats. I just thought I would share that with you. That's not what I'm preaching on today, but I think it helps us to, you know, sometimes folks say, well, God doesn't care about the outside. Well, when it comes to modesty, he does. He does. But that's not what I'm preaching about today. So fear not. Fear not. It said, they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. And verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he, that's God, said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And I want to speak to you for a few minutes, but who told you that you were naked? Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. Praise God. You can be seated. Book of Genesis tells us, we all know that God created man, right? And we also know that man was created in the image of God. And by the way, God is not three-headed and neither is man. However, man is body, soul, and spirit as God is. Body, soul, and spirit. God gave man dominion over the works of his hands and over all the earth, over all the plants and the animals. And the Bible says God blessed them. God breathed the breath of life into man, and he put him in a beautiful garden, Garden of Eden. And he gave him a wife as a companion. And man at this point was complete in body, soul, and spirit. Complete in that he was completely whole in body, meaning there was no sickness, there was no pain, there was no defect, there was no aging, there was no breakdown in the body, there were no aches, no pain, no suffering, no cancer, no sugar diabetes, none of that stuff was present. Man was complete. But not only was man complete in body when God created him, but he was complete in mind, in his soul. He was complete in his emotions. The word soul in the Greek comes from the Greek word psuche. It's from what we get the word psychology from. And man was complete in his mind, in his emotions. There were no mental or psychotic defects in Adam and Eve when they were created. There was no fear. There was no sadness. There was no stress. There was no depression. There were none of the negative emotions that we all have to deal with on a regular basis. You know what I'm talking about? Not only were they complete in body and mind, but they were complete in spirit. And by that, what I mean was they were in perfect union with God. They had a relationship with God. There were no defects in their relationship with God. There was nothing that came between them and God. There was nothing, there was no reason why in the beginning Adam had to avoid God whenever he was in the garden, or Eve had to avoid God, because their relationship was perfect and it was complete. And because they were complete in every way, body, soul, and spirit, their circumstances and their surroundings had no effect on them. And what I mean by that is they didn't have to fear the animals that they shared the earth with, because there was no death. There was no emotion of fear. They were not capable of fear. They were naked, but they were unaware, because their perfection in body and soul and spirit meant that clothes at this time were irrelevant, because they didn't face all of the emotions and the things that we all go through. And then, of course, you know the story of how the serpent deceived them. And by the way, I just want to make a little side note here and say that they were manipulated by Satan. People are still manipulated today. That's what he does. And I think this is, again, not what I'm preaching about today, but I do think it's important for us to understand. Some people think that every time someone is used by the devil to hurt them in some way, that means that person is possessed. That's not what that means. Some people are just ignorant of his devices. We have to learn to separate when someone is being unwittingly used by the enemy versus when someone is possessed by the enemy. We don't want to throw that term around too loosely. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I do believe in demonic possession, but I don't believe that every time somebody does something wrong, it's because they're possessed. Okay? Just want to throw that out there for good measure. And so Satan deceived Adam and Eve, and the fall came, and they gained a knowledge of good and evil that they did not have before, but it came with a curse, because now they were no longer complete in body, because immediately sickness and hell, death entered into the world. They were no longer complete in soul, because immediately they knew what it was to feel fear. They knew what it was to feel depression, discouragement. They were no longer complete in spirit, because their relationship with God had been severed and it had been sundered. And now, so they were in this situation. And here's the thing that I want to draw to your attention. The instant that they ate of the fruit, whatever it was, before they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden, but after they had eaten of the fruit, in that instant, before they put on the aprons that they had made for themselves, in that instant, they knew instinctively that something was wrong. Something had happened, and they maybe couldn't put their finger on it, but they knew that something was wrong, because suddenly they felt a sense of shame that they had not felt before. And so they made themselves these aprons. Where was it that they knew that something was wrong? What had happened was a great big gaping hole had opened up in their heart where there had not been a hole before. Before, they were complete, and suddenly they realized there is an emptiness on the inside that they had not had before. Not only was everything now wrong, but they knew that it was wrong. They were aware that it was wrong, because God had created man with a space in his heart, in his soul, that only he, God, could fill. And that space was filled until Adam and Eve fell in the garden and sin, and suddenly there was this big hole. You've got a hole in your heart today. Do you hear what I'm saying? And whether you want to admit it or not, you know you're naked if you have not filled that hole with the presence and the power of God Almighty. We're all born with that hole in our hearts. And whether we want to admit it or not, people spend an entire lifetime trying to fill that hole. And people, some people think, if it's money, if I could just get more money, I would be happy. If I could just get more money, I would have that peace. If I could just make another sale, if I could just do this, if I could just do that. And yet, we've got rock stars that have all the money in the world, and they still try to fill that hole with cocaine. Or they've got all the cocaine in the world they want, and they try to fill that hole with more women. They got all the women in the world they could want, and they try to fill that hole with a bigger boat and a bigger house and a bigger car. And they find that nothing fills that hole until one day they give up. Somebody like Robin Williams that just put a noose around his neck, had all the money in the world that you could imagine, that you could think of, but yet he could not find whatever it was to fill that hole that he had in his heart. And he hung himself. Amen. You're trying to fill a hole that God designed you with. And we know that something is wrong, something is missing. Not only is that hole in your heart, but there's a hole, let me say this, there's a hole in the kingdom of God that only you can fill. Let me say that again. There's a hole in the kingdom of God that only you can fill. There are some people that God, that nobody can reach as well as I can reach them. There are some people, Brother Brian, that you and only you can reach them. And there are some people that because of your background and because of your experience, I could go try to talk to those people and it'd be just like, you know, go straight over the top of their head. But yet you could talk to that same person. And because God designed you and that hole for you to fill, you could reach that person that I couldn't reach. But by the same token, there's people that I could reach because of my background that he can't reach. And God has a place for each and every one that is here today that only you can fill. Amen. Some people, it might be to preach conferences, but it's not for everybody. Some people, it might be to just to have an impact on a child in a Sunday school class. We don't know. One of those children back there right now in that Sunday school class that Sister Phaedra is working with right now, one of those children could grow up to be the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. And it could all be because of a Sunday school teacher who gave of herself to take the time to spend some time with those children. So you don't know, may not know where your part is and what your place is in the kingdom of God, but you're never going to be satisfied until you find that purpose and that plan for your life. We're all trying to fill that void, aren't we? Trying to fill that hole. Amen. So Adam and Eve, they suddenly saw that their clothes were missing. But there was a lot more than just clothes that were gone. Because suddenly they were missing meaning. They were missing purpose. Something in them had died. You know, people try to fill that void in a lot of ways. And, you know, Jesus said it this way. He said of the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees seek a sign. How many of you understand that? And I'm ashamed to say it to you. Don't get me wrong when I say this. I am not by any stretch of the imagination against big churches. If the Lord wills and we're here long enough and the Lord tarries his coming, we plan to be there one day. But I have a problem with people who go to church for entertainment. And the sad thing is Jesus said that the scribes and the Pharisees sought a sign. And what I think he was really saying is they were looking for the next show. They were looking for the next performance. And people haven't changed in this day and in this age. People are still looking for churches where they can find whoever puts on the best show and whoever's got the best entertainment. And Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. I'm not against choirs. I'm not against Christmas programs. We've had them. I'm not against dramas. We've had them. I believe that whatever we do, we should do it for the glory of God and do it to the very best of our ability. But if you think that a drama or a concert or a show is going to fill that void in your heart, you are sadly mistaken. It can point you in the right direction, but it's not going to fill the hole. Amen. And yet there are some people that just, you know, they want to go wherever, who's got the best light show. But my point is simply this. What I have a problem with is we live in a day and an age where that's what people want. Some of you have heard me tell the story. I'll just touch on it real quick about the person who called us up when I was pastoring in Anderson. And the first question out of their mouth, well, we just moved here from Indiana. We're looking for a church. Great. Well, we've got a good Holy Ghost-filled apostolic church. Have a great move of God. We got one question for you. I said, what is it? Do you have a softball team? And I thought to myself as I spoke to that person on the phone, and by the way, we did have a softball team, a pretty good one. But I could not help, Brother Gabriel, I could not help but think to myself, if I was calling someone, if I was looking for a new church in a new city, a new town, and I had just moved there, whether they had a softball team or not would be the last thing on my list of priorities. What I would want to know is, I would want to know, Do you have prayer? Do you have a move of God? Do you let the Holy Ghost move? Amen. What is your doctrine? What do you teach? What do you preach? I want to know about things that matter, not about whether you got a softball team or not. But that's the day and the age that we live in. An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And then there are the people that Jesus fed. And he said, you are seeking. You're trying to fill the void. But he said, the only reason you're trying to fill the void is because I fed you. I gave you something to eat. And these are people, there are people that look for whatever God can do for them or whatever the church can do for them. And some of them, I've known people before that said, I'll serve the Lord as long as he pays my light bill. I'll serve the Lord if he pays my rent this month. I'll serve the Lord as long as somebody runs my errands for me every day. And if you're seeking for the wrong reasons and in the wrong direction, you're going to be disappointed. Because sooner or later, the newness of the show is going to wear off. Sooner or later, you're going to hear every sermon practically that the preacher knows how to preach. Sooner or later, you're going to hear every story that he knows. And the songs that the choir sings are going to get old to you. Worship songs are going to get old to you without a relationship. But if you are seeking for the wrong reasons, all of that is going to lose its luster. But if you're looking for the right reason and in the right direction, then you're going to be satisfied. Somebody said, well, if I just saw more miracles, I would serve the Lord if I just saw more miracles. Really? Ask Judas about that. Because last time I checked, Judas saw plenty of miracles. It still didn't work to keep him. But Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're seeking signs, you'll never be satisfied. If you're seeking bread, you'll never be satisfied. But if you're seeking righteousness, you shall be filled. And my question for you today is, what is it that you're seeking? Because you know you're naked. Now, what are you going to do about it? Amen. I've said this before, but I'll just say it again because it bears repeating. It's pretty obvious. If you're looking for a light show, we don't have it. If you're looking for a 100-voice choir, we don't have it. We don't have $1 million sound system. We're proud of our little sound system. But we don't have a professional paid staff of paid actors for our drama team. Sister Amanda does a drama up here. She doesn't get a salary for doing the dramas. Hallelujah. We don't have that. If you want those things, we don't have that. But if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you've come to the right place because you can be filled right here in this place. If that's what you want, you can't be filled. If you feel like you are going to die without a move of God in your life today, then you have come to the right place. Because you can get it here. You can get it here. Book of Deuteronomy said, thou shalt find him if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And then a verse we love to quote, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. David said it like this, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And then he said, when he was in the wilderness of Judah, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. His heart responded to God. His soul was thirsty for God because he knew that he was naked and he knew that something was wrong. Has anybody ever walked through a spiritual desert before? Amen. A lot of folks are seeking to fill that hole through astrology. Anybody never known anybody who tried to fill it through astrology? Witchcraft? Have you known anybody that ever tried to fill it through witchcraft? Amen. Riches? Whatever. But David said, go to the rock. The prophet said, seek him while you can. Here's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let me just say this about that. This is, I think, a dangerous trend that we have helped to create in the modern world of Christianity, which is the idea or the notion that God is there whenever we get ready. But the Bible said, seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And you don't have a guarantee that when you come around and you make up your mind that you're going to get ready, that God is going to be there for you. You know, I've used this many times, but it bears repeating. When the angel troubled the waters of the pool of Bethesda, they had to get in while the waters were being troubled. I'm one who believes that when there's a church service going on and you feel the presence of the Lord and there's a healing spirit in the place, I'm one who believes that it's time to move and come forward and be anointed and be prayed for at that moment. Because that means that God is troubling the waters. And if God is troubling the waters, you better jump in while you've got a chance. Too many people think, well, I'll just go when I get ready. That wasn't how it worked at the pool of Bethesda. But he said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of them that do what? That diligently seek him. If there is one characteristic, one theme that runs throughout the Word of God, it is God is looking for people that will seek after him. I have spoken with people before who said that they were in what I would refer to as an agnostic state of mind. What do I mean by an agnostic state of mind? What I mean by that is people who say, I'm not sure whether there is a God or not. And there's nothing wrong. Let me say this, first of all, folks. I'd almost rather deal with an honest atheist than a dishonest so-called Christian. I've dealt with both kinds. Okay? But I'm going to tell you this, that I've talked to people before that were in an agnostic state of mind, and what I mean by that is they just weren't sure. And I could stand up here all day long and I could tell you, well, you just need to believe because I said so, or you need to, you know, you just, you know, just tell them what they need to do or should do or whatever. But to somebody who's struggling in that way, my advice to them has always been the same. Seek, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I've even had people tell me before, Brother Jeremy, they'd say, but I have sought him. And I would say, well, I've seen you in church a few times. I haven't seen it. I've watched you sit back with your arms folded and just waiting for God to come along and take a baseball bat and hit you over the head. It doesn't work that way. All right, God, what you're doing is you're sitting back and you're saying, I'm going to wait for God to seek me out. That ain't what he said. He said, you seek him. Well, what am I supposed to do? How do I seek God? Well, you seek God through prayer, through praise, through worship. And he said, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you start digging into the word and you say, I'm going to have enough. Somebody said, but I don't know that I even believe it or not. And I say, dig in anyway. Because if you dig in anyway, if you have enough faith, Jesus said, faith is of the grain of a mustard seed can move mountains. If you have enough faith to pick up the word of God and say, you know what? I don't know whether I believe it or not, but I'm going to read it anyway. That's an act of seeking. Brother Brian, when you were still a Muslim, had you ever read the New Testament before that point in time? No. But once you began to seek, you opened up the pages, right? And as you opened up the pages, I heard a testimony the other day on the radio of a prominent reporter, and he was raised Jewish, raised in a devout Jewish home, but he had converted to Christianity. And the interviewer, who was himself Jewish, said, what was the trigger that caused you to convert to Christianity? He said, I began to read the Gospels. And he said, and as I read the Gospels, I just knew that there was truth there. What was happening is this right here. Somebody said, I'm going to have enough faith to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Somebody said, I'm going to have enough faith to crack open the book and seek. And what happened is God said, now you're seeking the right way, and I can start to fill that void that you feel in your heart. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me today? I know this has not been chandelier swinging, but I feel the presence of the Lord here. Let's lift our hands and our voices one more time. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. The idea of an altar call is not really something that's biblical. You don't really have, in the New Testament, you don't really have altar calls and invitations, as we like to refer to them. It's more of a traditional thing. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Acts 10, while Peter was preaching, while he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell. Right in the middle of the service. Peter's right in the middle of preaching, the Holy Ghost fell. That's really how I like for it to happen. But that being said, the case of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 was a little different, because Cornelius had already been seeking for quite some time. He was ready. But did you know that one of the reasons I still like to do an altar call every now and then is because of the simple fact, when we're talking about seeking God, let me tell you what seeking God is. Seeking God is when you're standing here and you know that everybody's going to look at you, but you got to find him anyway. And so you've got enough faith to take a few steps. That is seeking God. Because now you've said, I've got enough faith. I may not have a lot. I may just have that little grain of a mustard seed. but I've got enough faith to take a few steps to the front and say, I need a touch from God today. I wonder if anybody has that kind of faith that needs a touch from the Lord that would step out as we sing this again. I don't care if you've got the Holy Ghost or if you don't have the Holy Ghost. If you just need a new touch, why don't you step out in Jesus' name? I wonder if I could get the elders to just go down the row here and help me pray for these folks in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody's getting an answer today. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Somebody's finding an answer today. Somebody's feeling the void get filled. Hallelujah.